Well, good morning and welcome to our time today as we reflect on Jesus and the cross. The road to celebration of a few days ago, where people were waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," has now been replaced by cries of "Crucify him," as we take the road that leads to crucifixion in our time of remembrance today. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, today we are remembering the journey you took on the road to the cross, that place of sacrifice and forgiveness, and that we find difficult to comprehend. For many, it's a place we would rather skip over and fast forward to Sunday and your resurrection. But Lord, on this Good Friday, help us to pause for a while as we dare to gaze upon a cross. Open our eyes to not just a cross, but to the Saviour who willingly gave all, dying in our place as it were, providing forgiveness of sin and new life in Christ. Meet with us at the foot of the cross as we dare.
Amen. Let's stand, if you're able, to sing our first hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died."
please be seated.
The Gospel reading is taken from John 18, verse 28 to 38. Jesus before Pilate. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus has said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I just want to tell you about that night. That man, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, Pilate, after all the to-ing and fro-ing, in the end ordered him to be flogged. There was such an atmosphere that night as we took him, Jesus that is, into the palace. And all the other soldiers came into this big room, the whole troop. We gave him a real lashing, much worse than usual. The thongs of the whip literally tore bits of skin off. I mean, there was blood everywhere. And the wheel marks. They were like deep red glistening stripes across his back. I've never seen anything like it before or since. By rights, he should have been dead. But he kept breathing. In fact, he mostly kept standing as well, even though we tried to beat him to the ground. Afterwards, all the guys from the troop were there, and we took off his tunic completely. Somebody got some thorns and made like a crown and shoved it down hard on his head. More blood trickling down his forehead and onto his face. Then we got a purple robe and a staff to make him look like a king. We shouted, "Hail, King of the Jews," and bowed down, pretending to adore him. I mean, we were really taking the mickey out of him. Then it got more and more nasty. We spat on him, and then someone grabbed a staff and hit him in the face. A lot of us joined in. The noise, all of us shouting, and his screams. Looking back, it was awful, horrible. It even makes me shudder to think of it. No, I really don't know how he survived all of that, but survive it he did. And then we had to take him out and go up to be crucified. But that's another story. Let's stand and sing our second hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measure, That He Should Give His Only Son to Make a Wretch His Treasure. Seated.
Our reading continues in John chapter 19. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, "I'm going to bring him out to you now. But understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, "Look, here is the man." When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Amen.
I was in charge of the execution. I did what I had to do because I was under orders. But that doesn't mean that I enjoyed what I did. I could see that he was different. He wasn't your usual villain. He wasn't a thief or a murderer or anything like that. He had something about him which I could see, even through the blood and cuts and bruises that he had all over him. Yeah, I could tell that he was different. But it was only after we'd crucified him, that I realized how different he was. For starters, even after we'd banged the nails through his hands and his feet and hung him up on the cross, he actually said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I couldn't believe what I'd heard. Because if it had been me up there, I would have either been cursing everyone within earshot, or I would have been pleading for someone to rescue me. Then a few minutes later, Jesus tells this thief, a thief, mind you, Jesus tells this thief that he's going to be with Jesus in paradise. I'd never heard anything like it in my life. A thief going to paradise? It's like Jesus really cared and had compassion for this bloke. It was also like he had the power, the authority, to give this man a place in heaven. I tell you what, my head was buzzing with all that I saw and heard. And then, right at the end, just before he breathed his last, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I can remember it all, just as if it was yesterday.
We now come to a time of prayer, and in each of these prayers we'll be identifying with different characters from the events of Good Friday. At the end of each prayer I shall say, "Lord, in your mercy," and if you'd like to respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Judas Iscariot. Lord Jesus, forgive our times of impatience and misunderstanding. Forgive us when we are convinced that our way is right and their way is wrong. Forgive us when we hedge our bets and our loyalty can be bought and sold. Forgive us when we are misguided in our attempts to get things done. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are Judas, betraying you in thought, word, and deed. In the cross, take away our sin, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Simon Peter. Lord Jesus, forgive us our times of cowardice and apathy. Forgive us when we fail to speak and act in a way that shows we are yours. Forgive us when we think it does not matter, or that our faith is our business alone. Forgive us when we try too hard to fit in, to play it safe and avoid the risk of being true to who we are. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are Peter, denying we know you and ashamed to be known as yours. In the cross, take away our sin, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. Caiaphas, the high priest. Lord Jesus, forgive the times when our sense of responsibility becomes confused and our priorities are twisted. Forgive us our willingness to tolerate what is evil. Forgive us when we have been close-minded to the truth. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are like the high priest, colluding with those who do not understand your ways. In your cross, take away our sin, and in your resurrection, give us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Pontius Pilate. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we have sought to protect ourselves, to scapegoat others. Forgive us when we have misused the power we have and failed to grasp the power you give us for good. Forgive us when we turn a blind eye to the unjust structures in our society and in the nations of the world. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are Pilate, weak and fearful and longing to be popular. In the cross, take away our sin, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The crowds. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we do not think for ourselves. Forgive us when we are swayed by public opinion and simply repeat what we have heard. Forgive us when we get carried away and do things that we and you abhor. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are the Passover crowds, following the crowd in turning against you. In the cross, take away our sin, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The soldiers. Lord Jesus, forgive us for the times when our compassion burns out, when the task takes over and our awareness of others is lost. Forgive us when we fail to see the full humanity of every person made in your image. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are the soldiers at the foot of the cross, mocking in the face of suffering. In the cross, take away our sin, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mary and John. Lord Jesus, grant us grace to live the life you give us, to fan the sparks of hope into flames in our own lives and in the lives of others. Give us comfort in loneliness, strength in suffering, and faith in your enduring love. Lord Jesus, bless us when we are Mary and John, grieving in the face of unimaginable loss. In the cross, take our pain away, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us when what we have done seems to have ruined everything. Forgive us when we do not deserve it. Forgive us when we cannot earn it. Forgive us when we cannot make it right. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are at our worst. In the cross, take our sin away, and in your resurrection, bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, gathering our prayers into one, let us pray together the prayer our dear Lord Jesus taught us in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The reading is taken from John 19, verses 28 to 30. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill Scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
So we did all that to him. Yet Jesus, hanging from the cross, was able to forgive us for what we'd done to him. And then he promised the thief he would be with Jesus in paradise that very day. Incredible. But it's what happened afterwards that left me gobsmacked. Because no sooner had he died than at that very same moment, that massive huge curtain, you know, the one in the Jews' precious temple, well, it was torn in half against the grain of the cloth from top to bottom. I mean, how is that possible? And then also, at the same time, there was an earthquake that shook us all up, something terrible. It was that bad, even my favourite pub collapsed. But that wasn't the strangest thing that happened. No, the strangest thing that happened was that an earthquake broke open some of the tombs, and a load of folk who had died were raised back to life, came out of the tombs and went into Jerusalem. Loads of people saw them, honest. And they weren't zombies or anything stupid like that. These were honest to God, dead people who had somehow been miraculously brought back to life. Well, I was amazed and a bit scared. Never in all my days of soldiering have I ever heard or seen anything like it. You couldn't make it up if you tried. And so I couldn't help myself. I found myself saying, surely he was the Son of God. I mean, he must have been, right? Anyway, that's what I believed then, and it's what I still believe now. The question is, what do you believe? The Roman centurion was left in no doubt as to who had just been executed. The Son of God. But what of you and I? What do you believe? What is truth, as Pilate asked it? Now, whether he asked in jest and mockery, or in musing and pondering, we cannot be sure exactly what he meant. But before him stood someone who, being fully human, yet also fully divine, was journeying towards a pivotal moment in history that was to restore us, God's creation, back to himself. Jesus was on that road, his path and destiny being set way before the events of the Passover festival. Jerusalem had been his goal from the very beginning. Here was a man who was the way, the truth, and the life. This was no criminal, but the Son of God, fulfilling that for which he had become human. His whole life and mission had been a journey towards a cross. For it was out of an unfathomable love that he now stood before a jeering crowd and was led to the hill of crucifixion. It was love that allowed those nails to be driven through his flesh. And love that gave the criminal hung next to him access to heaven. It was in love that he forgave. And in love that he died. It was the way it had to be to ensure you and I could receive a restored relationship with the Creator of all things. Jesus is the way back into the presence of God, back into heaven itself. Putting our faith in Jesus breaks the barrier of sin and death and opens a path to an eternity with Jesus. Jesus is not only the way, but also the truth. The gospel accounts show that Jesus can be trusted. Incarnate God came to reveal the truth. The truth that Jesus came to bring life and life in all its fullness. That's why we call today Good Friday. The cross is that reminder, the central emblem for all Christians, which we hold on to as the place where, through Jesus Christ, we are born into newness of life. This week, we are journeying with Jesus through his suffering, death, and resurrection. Today, it's the road to the cross. It's a story like no other. And I believe it. Jesus having become a living reality for me, and I hope you too know and experience the love of Jesus in your own life. Today, we remember and celebrate this death with thanksgiving, recognizing that Sunday is on the way. And that's a whole different story. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. You see, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. It is a story like no other. The story of the cross and the God-man who died in our place. The sacrifice he made for you and for I. We're going to finish our time this morning by singing, "To God be the glory. Great thing he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us, you and me, his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in." Let's stand and sing this hymn together. Thank you, Brian. gaze upon your cross today, a symbol of your love and the ultimate act of sacrifice. May we see in it the hope of forgiveness and new life. May we be transformed by your grace and guided by your Spirit to live lives that reflect your love and compassion. And now may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Please be seated. You'll see today, 11 o'clock, we've got our walk of witness through the town, starting at 11 outside Revive. And this afternoon, feel free to drop in between 12 and 3 to St Giles, where there's a labyrinth of prayer stations through the building, and reflect further on what this day, this cross, this Jesus means to each and every one of us. Amen, and have a great day.